Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives.
Acts chapter 26. Now, when you're going to Acts 26, I'm going to quote Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 6 is where Isaiah is called. You know, I often speak about the first part of that where he says, I am a child and I cannot speak, and the Lord has the angel take the coal from the fire of the altar and put it on his lips and say no more that I am a child, but I'll give you the words and you speak. But then after that, verse 9, he says to tell the people that they hear but do not understand. They see, but do not perceive. They hear without understanding, see without perceiving. The New Testament, Jesus virtually says the same thing. In many of the Gospels, he says, you hear, but you don't hear. You see, but you don't see. He teaches in parables, and after they're asking him about why he taught in parables, he said, because they see, but don't see. They hear, but don't hear. Now, I'm going to begin in Acts 26 because the Apostle Paul, when he receives his call, he speaks about it like this. He's talking to King Agrippa. He said, whereupon, verse 12, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above, brighter than the sun, shining around me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me in Hebrew. Interesting. Now, first of all, speaking in Hebrew, because at the time, the Apostle Paul, or he was Saul at the time, he could speak Greek, and he probably spoke Aramaean. That was the common language of the day, Aramaean. But the Lord spoke to him in Hebrew. That's the language of the Bible. They could read Hebrew at the time and understand Hebrew, but they didn't necessarily speak Hebrew at this time. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And I said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. But rise, stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of these things which you have seen and of those things which will appear unto you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I now send you. Now this is it. Verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, the faith that is in me, in Jesus. The beginning of that, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. Today's message is called the eyes of understanding, the eyes of understanding. Do you realize that the Bible, and we're going to cover some of the scripture in a few moments, the Bible tells us that many people have eyes, but they don't see. Now, part of that problem is not them, but the one who blinds our eyes, the enemy. It says very clearly to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan. Now, the power of Satan is not just over those who have yet to be born again, but he tries to influence believers as well. That's why there will be various levels of believers. Some can believe this far, but they're blinded to the rest of the truth. And others may believe this far, but blinded to the rest of the truth. And various people will believe various parts of God's word. And the enemy is right in there trying to mix it up by blinding them to further revelation, further power and further truth. Because if there's one thing the enemy does not want, is a powerful Christian. One who knows the power of God, knows the name of Jesus, and knows how to use the weapons of warfare. So if the enemy can blind eyes to the things of the Spirit and blind eyes to the power of the Holy Spirit in the people of God today, he will do that and does do that. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, we're going to go chronologically. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, make it easy. 1 Corinthians 2, we're going to look at verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now this implies that there are some fabulously exciting supernatural things that the Lord has prepared for all of us that love him. But we haven't seen them, nor heard them, nor have we even thought about them, because they're beyond natural comprehension. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, he tells us that it's going to be spiritually discerned. We won't be able to see it. We won't be able to hear it. Remember, Jesus said in the last days, if someone says, it's over here, don't go. The Messiah is over here, don't go. He says in the last days, there'll be many that deceive many. And God does not want us deceived. He wants us to know the truth, because that sets us free. Now, who would not want us to know the truth? Nobody of God would be the enemy. And he will use every means possible to keep us in the dark. But the Lord wants to shine the light of truth, that we would know this is the will of God, this is the word of God, this is the way of the Lord. He's going to reveal it to the eyes of our understanding. It's not going to be our natural eye or our natural ear. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll look at verse 4. Well, I'll start in verse 3. But if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. So we see that one of the things that the God of this world, and the God of this world is small g, it's Satan, one of the things he does is blind the minds of people that they not believe. Not blinding the physical eyes, blinding the spiritual eyes, that they don't see the truth. They don't see the Lord. They don't see a way out of a circumstance or a situation. They're blinding them to the word of God, blinding them to the revelation of Jesus. For whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, have you ever seen a puppy or a kitten when it's first born? Have you ever noticed that their eyes are closed? They're born. They're no longer in their mother. They're out. They crawl around a little bit. They move around. They're free. But their eyes are closed. And their eyes stay closed, I'm not sure how long, a week or so. They move around. They're awake. But they're unseeing. This is the state of many believers who have stayed in the extreme babyhood stage of Christianity. Their eyes, their spiritual eyes remain closed. They move about. They hear. They respond, but their eyes, their spiritual eyes, are still closed. We are to open them how? If you keep that puppy or that kitten in a darkened room, it actually takes longer for the eyes to open. But if you put them in a well-lighted room, their eyes will open faster. It's a response to the light. When we allow the light of God's word, the light of resurrection, to shine into our hearts, our spiritual eyes open that much faster because they respond to the light. So if we are to not be blinded, because the enemy will continue to try to blind us, continue to try to cloud our vision, that we not progress. Okay, I lost them. They're in the kingdom of God, but they're not doing much damage right now. But yet, if they see this truth, they'll be equipped and they might kick down the door. They might do damage. So he tries to continually keep us in the dark. If he can't keep us in the dark to salvation, he tries to keep us in the dark to the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because that opens the door to the weapons. That opens the door to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That opens the door to the God moving miraculously through us. Or he'll try to keep us blinded to the power in Jesus' name. That name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. So people will use the name of Jesus in desperation, but not in authority. People will use the name of Jesus when they pray, but not with authority to resist the enemy. The Word of God tells us, however, that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the image of God, when it shines to us, it transforms us. We'll go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, we're building a case here. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians 1, we see exactly why the enemy tries to keep us blinded to the things of God. Verse 18, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. There it is again, enlightened. As the light shines, our eyes open. As the light shines, you know, there are people today, they're born again, but they don't believe that God heals or that God wants to heal. Or they might put it in various ways like, well, he heals, but not always. He heals, but he doesn't always heal. Sometimes, in fact, he makes us sick to teach us a lesson. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling. When our eyes of our understanding are opened, we know. We don't think, we don't surmise, we know the hope of his calling. His calling, his power revealed and released in us and through us. The hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We inherit glory. We inherit the glory of God. The glory of God is the Spirit of God, the power of God, the revealed power of God through the Holy Spirit. That's our inheritance. It's not something that this one over here has and that one over there, and we ought to all run to the glory and run to the glory over here. No, it's something all of us inherit, the glory of God. But unless the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, we're in the dark. Do you ever use that expression? You hear about something and somebody comes and asks you about it. You say, well, I'm in the dark about that. I don't know. I heard, but I have no idea what's going on. Well, the same thing. There are a lot of people. They're born again, but they're still in the dark concerning the power of God, concerning the call of God, concerning using the weapons of our warfare. God has called us into the kingdom of God to do exploits, to tear down strongholds, to win the lost, equip the saints, and touch the nations, to spread the gospel. Not just to sit in the pew or sit at home, but to be doers of the Word of God. And Ephesians chapter 1 tells us the eyes of understanding being enlightened. Ephesians 4 takes this a little bit further. Ephesians 4, and I'm going to begin in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Okay, that's King James. Basically, according to their own thoughts. According to their own thoughts. What they think is right is right. What they think, you know, our culture today puts a lot of emphasis on what people feel. Feel is right along there with think. If people feel one way, we're supposed to treat them that way. And here the Word of God says, don't walk like that. Don't walk like that. Because what he says is their understanding is darkened. Darkened means you can't see the truth. Darkened means you don't know the way. Darkened means you don't know who you are. Have you ever heard the expression? It was so dark I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. That means you can't even see who you are. Being alienated from the life of God through ignorance. Do you realize that? The power of that statement? People are alienated from the life of God because of ignorance. Ignorance not being a put down. Ignorance meaning they just don't know. They just don't know. There are people that are alienated from the resurrection power of God because they just don't know. They're not being taught. They're not being instructed. They just don't know. Because of the blindness of their heart. People's hearts have like a veil on them. But according to my Bible, that veil was torn in two when Jesus rose from the dead. Actually, when he was crucified, it was torn in two. Now, John chapter 8 tells us how to correct our vision. It says that if we follow Jesus, we will be in the light. If we follow Jesus. Now, the word follow does not just mean follow the leader. It's more like Simon says. Follow the leader means you just follow somebody wherever they go. And that's part of it. We're to follow Jesus wherever he leads us. But the word follow means imitate. The Simon Says game is an imitation. You do what Simon says. You imitate. We are to imitate Jesus. Jesus walked in power. We are to imitate him. Jesus walked with resurrection life. We're to imitate him. Jesus healed the sick. We're to imitate him. Not that we heal, but let him heal through us, because he said, in my name you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So what we do in his name, through his name, and by his name. Now, there are a lot of charismatic believers, charismatic powerhouse believers, and yet they're ignorant of the fact that every one of us should be moving like this and not just a select few. And we tend to, I don't want to say idolize, but we tend to make a certain few the pinnacle of the church. And that they've got the power in the name of Jesus. And yet, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. Every one of us. It's just that they are the ones that are bold enough to step out, and their minds are not blinded, so they know who they are in Christ, and they act like it by following him, imitating him. And that's what all of us should do and should be. That we may see the power of God. That we may see and perceive. We started in Isaiah. They see, but they don't perceive. The Lord wants us to see and to perceive. We focused recently in many of the recent services on renewing the mind, training the spirit. We're talking about the eyes of understanding tonight. How do we open those eyes? Well, Jesus opened physical eyes. But at the same time, he was also opening blinded spiritual eyes. Remember the man who came to Jesus in Jerusalem. And Jesus prayed for him and he said, do you see? And he said, I see men as trees walking. Remember that? So what does that indicate? He had a partial healing. Prior to that, he couldn't see anything. Then he had a partial, he could see things, but not clearly. Now, this is not what Jesus was saying at the time, but I'm saying it. To me, that's like people who've been born again, but they don't know the power of God. And they can see partially into the things of God, but not clearly. They don't know who they are in Christ. The Apostle Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. Now, a glass in his time was not a window. It was a mirror. The word glass was from 1611. In his time, he's talking about a mirror. And glass would be translated as a mirror. We see darkly. Now, mirrors in his time were not like mirrors today. Today, you have a piece of glass. It's silvered on one side, and you see your reflection. And mirrors today, it's a pretty good reflection. In the ancient world, the mirrors were made out of brass, bronze. They would shine it up, and it would be extremely shiny, and you would see your reflection. But how many of you know what color brass or bronze is? It's a yellowish. So you're not going to see yourself Even in the best of the ancient mirrors, you're not going to see yourself as you really appear, are you? You're going to see yourself colored and also shaped. They couldn't get a perfect, smooth mirror like we do today. And it would be, they might have some bends or waves. You're not going to see yourself perfectly in that mirror. And we are, many people, not seeing who we are in Christ. And the Lord wants to correct our vision. He wants to show us who we are. He wants to demonstrate who we are. He wants us to know that He has given us the power of resurrection for a purpose, not just for prayer purposes, that's part of it, but for action purposes. We use the power of prayer to prepare ourselves for action. Pastor Rebeth shared that about India. I'm thinking of making a radio broadcast sometime where I just talk about some of the miracles that took place in India. Yeah, the two of us just talking about different things. You know, that time that she was talking about is a very small village, very tiny village, one way in and one way out. And the enemy tried to stop us, did prevent us one night from going in. Because we ran over a guy on a bike. We weren't driving. It was our driver driving. And he didn't do it intentionally. He was backing up because he missed the road. And backing up, he ran over the guy. And not over him, just over his bike. He got away. But it was a very odd thing in India, very odd thing, because rather than stop and get out and make sure the guy's okay, and the guy floored the car. I mean, just floored it and took off. And our interpreter was, you know, watching. There's a motorbike. There is a motorbike. Go, quickly, quickly, quickly. Following us, quickly. And turns out we read later in a book about India that if you're ever in an automobile accident, you're not supposed to stay and exchange insurance information and name and all that. You're supposed to get out of town as fast as you can to the nearest police station. Because the people will pull you out of the car, beat you to a pulp, and burn your car. Yeah, it's like wild. So that's why he takes off. So we don't know that at the time. So we say, well, okay, now let's go back. No, we can't go back. They saw the car. So Pastor Red Beth and I, we get out of the car, we start walking back. We say, okay, well, we'll just walk in. And we're like miles away. And pretty soon we walk for, I don't know, 100 yards or so, and then they come back to us with the car, and they say, you can't walk because we're sure they saw you in the back seat of the car. And if you walk back there, they'll just beat you. They saw you. Yeah, we didn't exactly blend in, all right? We're in Calcutta. So we resigned ourselves to not going into that meeting that night. We were really angry, really upset. So we went home, and we went to our place, and we prayed. The next night, we went to the same village with a different car. They couldn't tell the same car. And we had the most amazing, powerful night there. It started with that, what Pastor Rebeth shared, with the enemy just leaving in a rush out the window. And just was a tremendous, powerful, powerful night. But that's what the Lord has for each of us every day. We don't have to go to Calcutta for that. You see, Pastor Mary Beth and I, before we went to Calcutta, we had a healing service for 3 years. We were praying for the sick and seeing miracles right here in the U.S. for 3 years. During that time here in the U.S., we saw blind eyes open. We saw lame people walk. We saw dying people healed. We saw cancers disappear. We saw the most tremendous, amazing miracles because we preached the Word of God and believed we could see. Our eyes are opened to the truth. As soon as our eyes are open to the truth, it's incumbent upon us to act upon that truth. Act. The Lord reveals it for our action. He doesn't reveal it for our consideration. He reveals truth for us to act upon that truth. Is there anybody in any of our lives that needs prayer? Pray for them tonight when we come to prayer time. Maybe you don't need prayer, but you can pray for them for a miracle in their lives, because He's in the miracle working business. This is what the Lord does. So tonight, as we go to the prayer in just a few moments, let's trust God and believe God for miracles in the lives of people that we know, people around us, maybe people we work with. And then let them know that we're praying and to expect something to happen. When you talk to somebody like that, it's like the man who was begging at the gate beautiful. Peter and John didn't just go up and pick him up. They went and said, look at us. And what happened? He looked expecting something. Now, he wasn't expecting a miracle. He was expecting money, but he was expecting. They got him into that place of expectation. So if you're praying for somebody tonight, call them up or tell them, you prayed for them tonight. Expect something. Expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. Get their expectation up. Because when people look up in faith, they receive from the power of God. When the blind man, Bartimaeus, Jesus calls him, what did he do? What's the first thing he did when Jesus called him? He threw away his garment. He threw it away. That was probably the only thing he had, and if he ever left it somewhere, it would be pretty hard to find it again. Why? Because he was blind. It's probably one of his only possessions was his garment. But he knew that when Jesus called him, he'd be able to find wherever he left it. He threw it away. The Bible specifically says he cast it down. And he went to Jesus because he knew he would come seeing. He was expecting. Are we expecting tonight the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened? Are we expecting to see things we've not seen before in the Word of God or revealed directly by the Spirit of God? Let's lift our expectation to new levels. Let's open our eyes to see new things. Let's trust God and believe. For he says that before he does something, he shows it to us. He'll show us things to come by the Spirit of God. Only if we can see. There's no point in showing something to someone who can't see. But if we have our eyes open, we will see the mighty things of God in Jesus' name.
Hey, Pastor Frank here from Real Life Church, and I certainly thank you for listening to the broadcast each day, Monday through Friday, 10:30 to 11 a.m. It's just a pleasure to be able to put these on the air at WSTS 100.9 The Cross. What a blessing this station is. But let me ask you a question. Have you considered coming online with us for our online services? I preach 4 different online services every week. Now, 2 of those services are also in person in Myrtle Beach, and would love for you to visit there, 9644 North Kings Highway in the Galleria. We have an upper room with an elevator and also a stairway, and would love for you to come in. That's 9:30 a.m. Sunday mornings or 7 p.m. Thursday evenings. But those 2 services, along with Sunday, 7 p.m., and Tuesday, 7 p.m., are totally online. And you can access our online church at www.amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And when you click on that, it'll give you 4 options, the 4 different services. Just click on whichever service that you'd like to be a part of. And we preach the Word of God, preach the truth without compromise, and would love for you to be a part. We have people from literally all over the country, from as far away as Oregon and Arizona, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, Maryland, D.C., Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody, Massachusetts, people on every week with us. And we'd love for you, if you can't get out of the house or if you don't have a church home of your own, would love for you to be a part of Real Life Church Online. Well, God bless you. Until the next time I'm with you, have a wonderful day in the Lord Jesus. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have 2 other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All 4 online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.